Morning. Greet you in the name of Jesus. I enjoyed the service thus far. I enjoyed Sunday school hour. As I was meditating on the Sunday school, I was thinking, ooh, my message is going to overlap a little bit, but you know, that doesn't really matter. That's the word. It overlaps. As I was thinking about Sunday school, I was thinking, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? We're in a fallen world. That's basically why things like that nature happen. All right, my message this morning is going to take on the book of Ruth, first chapter. I was just studying for this, and I just didn't have no title. Finally, I decided, well, devotedness is probably, as you think of Ruth's life, is probably a pretty good title for the first book of Ruth. Devotedness, concentrated to a purpose, zealous, devout. Someone that puts great effort into whatever they are pursuing. Then this thought of Ecclesiastes came to my mind. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Well, what was Solomon saying? Solomon was simply saying, whatever your hand finds to do it with all purpose. Do it with all your might, because our end result will be that we're going to the grave. In other words, opportunity, you have only one opportunity in life. And life is very short, believe me. That's how I'm finding it anyhow. Well, you know, Solomon, what did he mean by this verse? He could have meant it in a physical sense, but I believe the Bible would also indicate in a spiritual sense as well. All right, going to the first chapter of Book of Ruth. The Book of Ruth here, we don't know who the author is, we know the author, but we don't know the writer, okay? It doesn't really indicate who the writer is. But Ruth is a principal character. She was a Moabitess. Moabite was the name of the son whom Lot's eldest daughter bare to Lot after the destruction of Sodom, and the founder of the Moabites. Moab was on the east side of the Dead Sea. You know, she was not a Jewish, but through marriage, she became Jewish. Ruth is one of the two books of the Bible named after a woman. This era of time is linked to the time of the judges at the time of a great famine. You know, it was a dark time during this era of time. Israel's history had a reputation of up and down, you know, going into sin and coming out and going into sin again. Seems like idolatry, political unrest, social chaos, apostasy was indicators of a lack of leadership. You know, this time, as well as the time of Joseph's life in Egypt, there was a flicker of light through which God was working. Even at the darkest hour, a remnant continued to serve the Lord. You know, God's line of promise to a coming Redeemer came through not through a royal house of Israel, but an obscure, poverty-stricken family. You know, life was not easy in these days during the period of the judges. There was no king in Israel, But every man did what was right in his own eyes. So let's read. First chapter of Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, and Ephrates of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech's, Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took their wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the women was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law, that she might return unto the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each unto your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Then they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry with them till they have grown? Would you stay with them and having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lift up their voice, and they wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law with Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from falling after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and where I will, there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and where more so also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. They said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mariah, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out a fool, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And Naomi returned, and the Ruth Moabite is her daughter-in-law with her, and returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem into the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, the first we see here in verse 1, we understand where this was taking place in the book of Judges, and we also notice that there was a famine in the land. Now, we could ask the question, what caused the famine? Was it a lack of rain, or were the Midianites continually invading the land? Well, either could be true. It was then, as we read in the Judges, the children of the Israelites did struggle with food because of Midianites continually invading the land. I believe it was because of lack of rain. Whichever reason it was, it's interesting enough that Bethlehem, the meaning of Bethlehem means the house of bread. And it's also indicator in the Old Testament ear time that a famine was often the evidence of God's discipline because his people sinned against him. Now, I believe it was God's a way of getting attention to the people, his people. Seems like during the time of the judges, Israel repeatedly turned from God and worshiped the idols of the heathen nations around them. And God had to discipline them time and time again. You know, it seemingly, even though there was ungodly people amongst God's people, but yet there was a flicker of godly people amongst God's people. Now, Elimelech and Naomi, excuse me, Elimelech and Naomi had to make a choice. Either they endure it or escape. Go somewhere else. Well, do you think God's plan was for his people to all run out of Bethlehem and all run out of Judea? No, I don't think that. But that's what this couple decided. Can we run from our problems? What does God want to achieve in our lives? They exchanged a famine for three funerals. Was that a good exchange? Or would have they died back home? That's your guess and my guess, I don't know. But it seemed they went with two sons, two unmarried sons, and within this 10-year period of time, the two boys found wives and married. Disaster hit, you would say. It was only a couple verses in the book here. When Elimelech dies, we don't know much about Elimelech. Very, very little. It was a short life with the boys and their wives. They had no children. And God took Elimelech and the boys' life. And another thing I thought about, when they left back in Israel, you know, as the children of Israel came into Israel, they got inheritance of land where God allotted them by tribe. Now, they had land. God gave them that land. Was not God going to supply them? Now, one other interesting thing was their two sons married strange wives. Jews were forbidden to marry Gentile women, especially those from Ammon and Moab. You know, like we said, Ammon and Moab were descendants of the Lot and his daughters. It was the Moabite women in Moses' day that seduced the Jewish men into immorality and idolatry. And the result was that 24,000 men and people died from that result. Now, it's interesting that the family only were going to sojourn in the land of Moab. I believe their initial initial idea was they were just going to go there for a while until the famine's over, but they lasted 10 years. 10 years, three lonely widows, and three Jewish graves in a heathen land. A time of loss helps us feel the need of God. Naomi's family had gone to Moab in an effort to better their circumstances, but the situation became even worse. But Naomi had an urge and a feeling, the need of fellowship with God's people. Like we said, we can't run away from our problems. The difficulties that God allows to come our way are actually a blessing. These trials help us understand that our weakness, and we also need a commitment, commit our way fully to God. Number three, choices have consequences. Elimelech and Naomi's choice was they left their promised land thinking they could better themselves in a foreign land, but the famine they experienced was due to disobedience. Elimelech and Naomi seemingly did what was right in their own thinking. I have a little poem that says this: in happy moments, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God. In quiet moments, worship God. In painful moments, trust God. In every moment, thank God. Is it hard to do when times come hard, times come rough? It's hard, but that's our calling, to trust God, even though helps us to trust Him for whatever incidents that He takes us through. Now, I also think of relationships. We can see relationships in this experience as well. Verses 7 through 9, we have, let's see if I can find it here. I should read it. Verse 7, therefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters with her, and they went on their way of return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go, return each unto your mother's house. Here it is: the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. We can see that they did have a relationship. They had, it seemed like it was a close knit family. That's what I got out of it. It indicates that they had a heartfelt feelings for each other. One thing that could have helped them take place was that they were in common place when they're being widows. They were all three widows. They had a common place and they were closely knit together. Now, interesting enough, Naomi's told her daughters-in-law, go and return home and stay with your family here. Now, why would a Jewish woman tell her daughters-in-law to stay with a heathen nation and serve a heathen God? I didn't understand that. I don't know why. One thing that could have went through Naomi's mind, okay? If Naomi came back into the land of Israel to Bethlehem with a daughter-in-law, that is an indicator to the people, oh, where did this lady come from? Where did this Moab lady come from? Did they marry a heathen woman? Of course, that's what happened. But we don't see any ridicule in the scriptures concerning this marriage. Now, I'm not okaying a heathen marriage, okay? I'm not okaying a heathen marriage this morning. But I see a God that's working in this heart of this Ruth to further His kingdom. Ruth never knew in the latter times that she would have been in the lineage of the Messiah. Amazing. Amazing. Well, we see that Orpha was the weaker of the two, and she stayed back, and Ruth was dedicated, and she was insistent. She is going along with Naomi. We see here that Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but we wonder whether her heart was really in it, for her decision proved that her heart was back home where she hoped to find a husband. Seems that Orpha left the scene and was not mentioned again in Scripture. You know, it would have been interesting to know what Naomi and Ruth talked about on their journey back from Moab to Bethlehem. You know, something happened before this point in life. Ruth must have seen and heard about the good and the God of the Jews. You know, Ruth was prepared to stand up. She was refused to listen to her mother-in-law's pleas or to follow her sister-in-law's bad example. Here's a good point for us, I think, is no matter what other people do, let's stand up for truth. Let's stand up for the right. Because she had to come to a trust in a God of Israel. You know, she came from a heathen heritage that did not trust in any god, but gods, stone of any given gods. You know, Ruth had experienced trials and disappointments, but insist on blaming God. We don't read anything in Ruth's life that she blamed God for her. But in spite of the bad examples that were around her, Ruth had to come to know the true and living God. She wanted to be with her people and with Naomi's people and with their land. That is amazing. Ruth's conversion is an evidence of the sovereign grace of God, for the only way sinners can be saved is by grace. Now, back to the question. I didn't finish my question yet concerning, okay, Ruth, here was a Moabitess. She came into the land of Israel. And I would like to turn to, where is that? Deuteronomy 23. I want to show you something in Deuteronomy 23. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 23. Three and four. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. Shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever? Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of the PR of the Mesopotamia to curse thee. Get it? When they coming through the wilderness, they met them, these Ammonites, and they had war with them, and they did not allow them to go through their land, and God put a curse on these people that they were not supposed to interchange or to intermarry any of these people. And here, Ruth is a Moabitess, and here she was one of them people. But I see in all this, you know, it was the grace of God that allowed that Ruth could marry Boaz. Yeah, it was by trusting God's grace and throwing herself completely in His mercy. Law excludes us from God's family, but grace includes us if we put our faith in Christ. That is another miracle of Ruth's life, marriage to Boaz. Condemn heathen women. Were not allowed to enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. They were cursed, but yet God's grace allowed this to happen. Ruth and Boaz were in the lineage of the Messiah. Ruth's life is a good example of devotedness and commitment go hand in hand. I would like to look at Naomi and Ruth's life and get a few pointers from them. I believe some right things happened in Elimelech and Naomi's home for Ruth to come to her conclusion in verses 16 and 17, where you will go, I will go, where you will lodge, I will lodge, and where thy people shall be my people. I believe some right things happened in Elimelech and Naomi's life in their home versus that Ruth seen and that Ruth heard made connection to her life. First of all, the conclusion is maybe a probability that the scriptures tell us that the death of these three men and more likely brought the three women closer together because of their grief. That could have happened. And number two, there was trust. Here was a heathen woman that did not know God as God, nor God's people who they were. Naomi must have talked about Bethlehem, God's people, to her sisters and all. Another factor of trust was that Naomi's talk and her walk were matched. You know, this is a basic truth. Talking, or our walk in life and our talk in life match. Basic truth that come alongside in life of consistency. Living what we talk and talk what we're living. As Ruth experienced a bond with Naomi and a trust, Ruth came to the place of surrender in her life. Just like our Sunday school lesson of Paul this morning, I believe Paul came to their life, he had a life of surrender. And commitment, devotedness. Same way with Ruth. I think she came to a life of commitment, a life of surrender, giving up, pulling away from her family, friends, land, foremost a heathen religion. Imagine leaving a land where she knew everything and going to a land where she knew nothing, no friends. But always remember, when you give up friends, when you leave one place, you catch up friends at another place. She totally resigned to the new future, which she had no idea what was. Interesting enough that Naomi and Ruth, they had no manly leadership in the home anymore, but yet they knew of a God, they knew God as their leader, and as they go forth in life, they're from here away, they knew that God would be in control of their life. God can do amazing things with our life if we only surrender and submit to God's plan and purpose. You know, as we continue in our life, let's be like Ruth. You know, let's be what your God, like she said to Naomi, I just love verses 16 and 17. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And where thou be buried, I want to be buried with them, putting it in my own words. You know, are we committed? Are we loyal? It's only as we put our hearts into God's, put our hands into hearts, into God's life, God's way of truth to our life, that we can be committed to Him. Let's kneel to pray.